Hey, we are live. Folks, thanks for tuning into the BAMF podcast. I am your host, Mike Laffrey. Here, we are talking with Aldo Regalado about the Superverse. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great. Thank you, Mike, for having me. Thank you, everybody, for having me.
Hey, I appreciate you being here. Now, before I let you have the mic, let me introduce my co-hosts. First off, directly below Aldo is Walt Rebillard, the man behind the Supers RPG, which I think was a big inspiration for this setting. Am I right?
Yes.
I hope so.
And directly below Walt in the lower left-hand corner of our grid is Jacob Blackman, frequent co-host. How you doing, Jacob?
I am well, and I have my new book that Walt's written.
Yes!
You just got that? Hang on, let me give you a solo layout so you can show that off. That is a nice book. Yeah, Walt's got big plans for Supers. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it right now, though, right?
Some we can talk about, some where, you know, where we have a little time.
Okay. Well, I guess the first thing we should probably mention, for any of our German-speaking superhero fan listeners, wow, that's a real niche I am pitching to right now, huh?
$3,000 and climbing.
Yeah. Right. This is the German conversion of Supers. Supers Deutsche Ausgabe, ein Superheldenrollenspiel.
Very nice, Mike. Very nice.
Very nice indeed.
Spreche ein bisschen Deutsch.
I'm just glad I have my headset on so that my dog can't get all excited at hearing all this German.
It pisses off the Belgians, it really does. And there's good historical reasons for that. But yeah, Supers for German language speakers is doing really, really well. First day, and they're almost $3,500 out of a target of 7.1. So yeah, congrats, German people. You guys are doing fantastic. That's Carsten Damm. Over in Köln. So nice. Way to go. And looks like, I'm guessing this cover, most of the artwork is by J.E. Shields, just looking at the edit. So awesome.
And you know, if you go onto the Kickstarter, mm-hmm. They have a if you are so German inclined, they have a quick start that you can download.
Oh, sweet.
Let's see.
Oh yeah. Right here, the Schnellstarter.
it's funny to hear that out loud.
Yeah.
So all right, cool. Anyway, we invited Aldo on to talk about his cool little setting, and I don't want to I didn't mean to download that. That was very presumptive of the German Quickstarter. It's on my machine right now. So all right, cool. this Germans just They
don't mess around.
They don't. All right, cool.
They don't ask for you to approve or accept or anything. Just download. It's on.
Just straight through that Maginot line and boom, we are there. All right.
Yeah, I really like the cover of the Schnell starter. If you look at the bottom of the screen, Mike, you can jump me into the middle.
All right. Boom. That looks good.
That is neat.
Yeah, when they sent it to me, I spent like half a day between this document and Google Translate. Like, what am I looking at? They did a really fun job. Absolutely.
Look at that.
Lots of good layout here. Lots of good options. I can't understand any of it without the help of my dog. A lot of fun.
Very neat.
So speaking of a lot of fun, let's talk about Sean's point, and let's talk about Superverse.
Let's talk about Superverse. Hey, Abe Smith. Abe, hey. We invited you to this podcast, sir. You should have a link in your email if you'd like to join. We'd love to have you on. So hope you respond. Superverse is a cool book, and it is... You know what? Aldo, I'm going to let you talk about it because I could say lots and lots of things, but it's your book. And
Yeah.
So how would you describe it to the uninitiated? Let's say I'm just rolling up for the first time, never heard of Superverse before. How do you pitch it to people?
So basically it's a campaign source book, right, for five games. It started off as a campaign source book for Supers specifically. But I moved on to support Icons and Bash and Super Game 3rd Edition, and Champions, the 6th Edition version of Champions as well. And, you know, the short pitch, I guess, is that it's a sort of a Bronze Age inspired, kind of a neo-Bronze Age sensibility, but in a contemporary setting, right? And I didn't necessarily set out to create that particular blend. That's just kind of what happens when I put my mind and my pen to superhero stuff, because that's the stuff I was raised on. And so I think my Bronze Age sensibilities, you know, kind of come through anything I do. And then it's kind of weird because the project itself sort of evolved. As I was working on it, I was going through some changes in the way that I approach gaming. And so it started off, I think, with the intent of being kind of something like the original Champions Universe book or something like the Freedom Cities books, which I really love. I really enjoy those. But the more I started to work on it, the more I realized that when I open up a pre-developed universe like that, that's so fully fleshed out, I personally get overwhelmed. And I feel like a lot of the NPCs are breathing all the air that player characters should be breathing. And I kind of get paralyzed in terms of using that stuff in my own games. So I said, I shifted gears in the middle of that and said, let me create a campaign source book that would assist GMs in kind of creating their own campaigns, but everything that I put in here is going to be in play in the pre-written adventures in a game, right? So there's very little in here that won't actually play out in the published adventures that are in this book. And all of the NPCs, even the superheroes, are written as adversaries or challenges or foils for or people in trouble for the player characters to kind of engage with. So they're meant to flesh out a universe, but they're not meant to be the center of a universe, right? And I have a campaign section at the end that that gives not the advice, but my advice for myself for how to start a group of player characters, center them in the campaign, and then wrap the universe around them rather than say, here's the universe, try to fit yourself in, right? And I guess that's the short pitch. So specifically here, you have a timeline of events. The timeline is completely constructed from all the background that the characters and the adventures sort of need. You've got a city that all the adventures unfold in, which is the city of Del Rey, which is a fictionalized version of San Francisco. That was a lot of fun to write. And then you've got all of the characters that are important for the setting that are in Del Rey, again, that appear in the adventures. So the important police officers, the important NPCs connected to certain plot points, the important institutions that make appearances in those modules, some organizations that could or could not appear but are there available for the player characters to interact with. And then you've got the core group of NPC heroes, the Freedom Ring, which are they actually are what started off this whole setting. The specific way in which supers inspired this game is that whenever I pick up a new superhero game, I try to test the system by creating sort of familiar characters in them. In this case, I created the Avengers. And then the Avengers were, I try to make them, I created my own version of the Avengers. And then I created knockoffs of the Avengers for this, and that became the first five characters of the Freedom Ring were like alternate reality kind of homages to the Avengers, and those were the core characters in the campaign. Again, they're all written to be supporting characters. Then that's the Freedom Ring. Then the Iron Gauntlet, that's a super villain team, and then the four adventures, and then the campaigning section. And then some pregens, if you are so inclined, right? And the pregens are also written so they can be used as more supporting cast, right? So that's it. Beautiful maps by Aide Smith. Beautiful art by Joe Singleton, who was the original artist for the project. And then also as much or more art, beautiful art by Aide Smith, who took over Joe's duties when Joe tragically passed away in the middle of the project, which is a huge blow to everybody in the community. But Aide did such a fantastic job in terms of bringing this project to completion and honoring Joe's original work and adding his own original work to it. And then several other artists along the way. Dan Hauser did some art for us. An artist that I only know by the name The Timmy. He's his Fiverr handle. But Dominique Sumner connected me with him, and he did some beautiful pieces for this. My daughter did a piece for it, which is so much fun to see in the book. But, you know, and the last thing is that I was trying to do something, you know, I was inspired by the production qualities of something like Mutants and Masterminds, right? I wanted to see if I could, you know, my sort of one man plus hired artist studio kind of create something that would kind of like stand on a shelf, like with those kinds of production values, right? I think it's, if it's a superhero product, that should be colorful and it should be vibrant and, you know, and I was looking for that when I made this. So anyway, that's enough of me blabbing. I will let folks ask any questions if they have them.
Yeah, what in the big adventure in the book, you reached out after a little while and you're like, hey, how does the Army do this? Can you talk about some of the new rules that came about or not necessarily new rules, but the adaptations of the rules that came about in regard to working with such a big set piece at the end?
Right. And I wanted to leverage the MOOC rules and supers, which I think are amongst the best MOOC rules out there. And I wanted to use those rules to be able to play something that's like on the scale of like, you know, Endgame or something like that, right? You know, just this vast battle where the stakes were there. And I gotta say, I designed alternate skirmish rules for the game, and I was pretty committed to them almost to the very end. And I was doing playtest after playtest with them, and there were some obvious problems that I was wanting to ignore whenever I do the playtest for them. And the last time I ran it for my wife, I was like, you know what? I can kind of run this because I made it, but it doesn't work. And so I had like a 2-week crisis where I was like, what am I going to do with this? And I said, let me go back to the original MOOC rules. That's what inspired this to begin with. And I just thought of different ways of packaging those units, right? So building a platoon and parsing them into, into the appropriate units and everything. And then also just creating kind of record sheets for the first like 5 rounds of combat, where it kind of staggers all the action in a very easy to follow flow. And it worked really, really, really well. And so, yeah, I think it's got, especially if you play that last scenario, on the heels of all the other adventures where the player characters have the ability to make alliances with other characters, maybe other villains, maybe other heroes, and kind of develop a history in the setting, and they get to that point. The way I tried to stagger the all these different people coming into this potentially world-ending, you know, scenario has a lot of ability, a lot of potential for creating these really dramatic moments, those last-minute saves and multiple of them over the flow of the battle. So I've got to say, it's not really, in the end, it's not the crafting of a new mass combat system. I scrapped that. It is maybe an example for how to use the rules that are already in Supers Revised and implement them in a way where you can do something on the magnitude of something like Endgame like that, right? And it was a lot of fun to do. And I do, by the way, one of the things about the adventures in this book, especially that last one, is that I don't like safe adventures where you can predictably get to the point where it's like, oh, when we get to this adventure, everything will be wrapped up nice and tidy and the heroes would have won. These are situation-based adventures. I leave it open, like, and your campaign might end at the end of this last adventure, right? And it might not end. And it's, I give you options for what to do if the heroes lose and you want to continue the campaign. But each one of these adventures has villains pursuing a goal, a timeline of events of how they're pursuing that goal, with then plenty of invitations for the player characters to intervene with those plans. And that's been, you know, that's the way I've written all of these. So, yep.
I gotta say, I was a big fan of Joe's work. Use him a lot of my books. It's a real treat to see so much of his work here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, one of the things I love about, Joe, and he did most, not all, but most, whenever you see, a supporting character like Richard Milam here, he's just the, security officer at one of the tech companies, Stellar Labs, one of the tech companies in the campaign. And Joe did all of the, you know, the normals, quote unquote, right? The supporting cast. He designed a lot of them, and he had such an ability to humanize folks, right? Like, these are throwaway characters for many people, maybe for many artists, but not for Joe. You know, he really made these guys shine, all the normals shine as much as he made the superheroes shine. And you know, I think it's a strength of the book. And I'm not talking about my writing, I'm talking about his. If you go to the beginning of the book, there's a piece, it's a courtroom scene, it's right before, it's at the Calabici crime family, and there's a piece that A did there that I think does something similar. I don't know if those are hyperlinked. If you go to the, should have done that maybe, but it's there they are, the page before that. Oh wait, is it in the, oh, because this is the Icons version. In the Supers version of the book, is this Icons?
This is Icons, yeah.
Yeah, this is Icons. In the Supers version of the book, there is a courtroom, and most of the art appears in most of the editions, but because of layout reasons and character sheet sizes and stuff, some art couldn't make it into certain editions.
Gotcha.
A did this courtroom scene where it's Brando Calavici coming out of prison and being interviewed by the press with a couple of his primary henchmen kind of hanging around. And he did, you know, all the press kind of gathered around those characters and the way they're interacting with one another and the way they're reacting to things that different characters are doing. I love those touches as well. He did really nice work with those action scenes as well as like these kind of more quiet scenes, you know. It was a real pleasure getting that stuff back from him every time. This is one of the earliest pieces that Joe did. It's just by this point in the book, you've been introduced to the police, Captain Cano and Reginald Hutton, which are these two police officers. Up at the top, you have Shadow Strike, who's one of the villains. And I was like, I'd like a scene where all these folks are kind of interacting in emotion. And he just whipped this up. It's such a fun dynamic scene. I can sit there for like an hour just looking at all little details, you know, all of the way that the action is framed and the panels are framed and the things individual cops are doing. And he just had a real talent for that. There it is. That's the one I was talking about. So that's AIDS piece. Yeah.
Yep. It does good work too.
Yeah. Fantastic.
That looks really good. Well, hey, we were talking before the show. I don't want to pin you down because I know after you put out a big setting like this, there's a lot of temptations. You know, this project, that project, do I support with adventures, do I support with character packs, do I do big events? Do you have any thoughts about what's next for Superverse?
Yeah, I guess I've got like three things. One of them is that I am going to support one more system with this. And I tend to move away. I don't know why. It's not on purpose, but I move where I get excited and passionate about a new, you know, about a game. And I love most of the games out there, if not all of them, in some form or fashion. But I'm kind of I've been drawn to Mike Diesing's work on the Stalwart Age, which is his revamp of Sentinels of Echo City. And I've had just so much fun playing around with that system. Nobody knows about it. Everybody should know about it. And so it's not going to take me much to whip up character stats for that. So all I have to do is whip up the character stats, and then I can quickly support that game as well. But aside from that, which really won't be that much effort, I'm kind of torn in two different directions, right? One is just dedicate my time to producing more support material for the Superverse. a character at a time, maybe a character bundled with a simple adventure at the time, or some plot, you know, some, you know. There's and Max Travers is the one who introduced me to Sentinels of Echo City and the Stalwart Age, so I see his comment there. But so I might be pulled in that direction, right? Create, I don't know how frequently, but just push out material to flesh out the Superverse more and more. Over, you know, I don't know, maybe every few months, try to put something out there, right? To do that. And I may do that. And if I do that, I don't know yet how many. I mean, I don't know that I can support all of these systems, right? I might have to select one or two and do that. And we'll see, you know.
I was going to say, with the systems that you already have, I'm surprised you're not in therapy.
Who says I'm not?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
I can testify as a publisher who's also published books for more than four systems. It's a lot.
Yeah. I want to give a special shout out to Brandon Powers, because he did. I grew up playing Champions. I played 20 years worth of Champions, but I've been away from the system as a player for a long time and as a GM for a long time. And I'm not that well versed in 6th edition yet. And enough, it's pretty much the same game, but enough has changed that I don't know. I was really rusty. And so I hired Brandon to do the stats for the Champion 6th edition. And he, without him, I could not have cranked out that version. And I think he did a fantastic job. I see the Champion 6th edition version of this book as the MCU version of the Superverse, where everything is just a little bit more, you know, gritty and grounded in the real world. And the stat blocks do that. I mean, Brandon is so meticulous about, and they need a hobby and they need all these little details, so they feel like more like less iconic, more fully realized kind of people. But yeah, so anyway, you know, back to your original question. Yeah, I'll have to see how sales look and what makes sense. I'd have a hard time imagining supporting all of these systems. I mean, maybe I can do conversion notes or something in the back of whatever I'm doing. The other thing is that I have another concept for a new campaign set in another universe that I might just shift my attention to that for a little while until I can kind of clean my palette from the Superverse a little bit. And that kind of, well, that is kind of inspired by the Stalwart Age. And Mike Diesing's design philosophy behind that game. Although if I did it, I'd probably be supporting Supers Revised and the Stalwart Age. But the concept is kind of like Supers with bikes, right? It's the premise is you make a group of, and I'm testing this out with my players. You make a group of characters who are kids circa 1981. They go out into the woods to play their favorite superhero game. And somehow there's something out there that alters reality and creates, you know, they basically become their characters. And I'm still working out the details on that. But there's some, basically, by the act of playing the game, they alter reality and they transform themselves, but they also transform discrete portions of the world that they're in. So if some kid was making the equivalent of Tony Stark as his character in the game, now suddenly there's kind of a Stark industry that exists in the universe. It didn't exist there before, but now it does, right? And so it's kind of my answer to how do you create a world that has a reason for being as unbelievable as superhero universes tend to be, right? Kind of have an in-fiction reason for that. And two, for all the inconsistencies that come with that, right? Like, why would this research lab be in the middle of this city? Well, because a kid put it there, right? Even though they didn't mean to, right? And then it affects all sorts of, you know, there are adults in the universe that suddenly they have these, you know, flare-ups of superhumanity. Now suddenly they have powers and like, what the heck? What's going on here? So it's like plop our world and then plop, suddenly all these elements exist in them. And it takes place in the 1980s, right? So anyway, I'm kind of toying with that. And it might be that I'll put my toe in both of those worlds and kind of like shift between them as I move forward.
I think the cool writer people like Walt refer to that as lit RPG. Or is that right? Am I using the verbiage correctly?
Well, lit RPG is when your main characters are put into their game world, but also have game stats in the, in the books. So right. he would have to actually have like, oh man, I just took that hit, and oh man, I rolled for my health damage, and this is not looking good. So you would actually be playing out the game in lit RPG versus like a Portal Fantasy where you're just transported. So
right, interesting.
Yeah, the lit RPG stuff has stats, and like the Portal stuff doesn't.
Right.
Sweet. Oh, but yeah, kids on bikes and superheroes. That's two great tastes that potentially go great together.
Yeah. We'll see. I've literally, it's been like 3 days since I've been kicking this idea around, and
I'm so it's fresh.
Maybe too fresh. It might start to stink soon. I don't know. We'll see. But I like it so far.
So the Kickstarter is launching next week. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think we have to finish the first one before your last service.
Yeah. Well, that is basically finished. I have all the versions of the book are shipping to me right now for the POD. So once that box of books appears on my desk and I can flip through them, I should just be able to hit the button and the POD will go live, and then I am officially free. But really at this point I'm free already. I received this copy, which I just did a test one, and it was such a thrill to hold it in my hand. It looks even better than I thought it would, so this was the test, and now that I did find some typos in there, I fixed those, and now the real final versions are coming to my desk. So soon.
Wait, are you getting? Did I hear you right? Are you getting all the POD copies shipped to your home, and then you're going to ship them out to your customers?
No, these are just the POD, right? Okay. So I had to order proofs. I had to order proofs for them to. They won't let me sell them unless I actually look at a copy.
Yeah, I've been there. I understand. I for a second I thought I misheard you, and you were getting all your POD books shipped to your house, and you're going to sign them with the Sharpie, and then go down to the post office.
You think he needs a therapist now? Yeah.
By that last book, your hand's so sore you can't sign. You're just holding the Sharpie in your mouth and just kind of. So, all right, cool. Aldo, this is really exciting stuff. I look forward to getting my copy of the book. And I suspect you're a very busy man between all these RPG projects and also being a, you know, college professor. But we do a little Monday game, lunchtime, and it might be moving to evenings depending on Walt's schedule, where we do like a demo session, like an hour, where we just kind of bash around a system. If you'd like to do some sessions in Del Rey on that show, we could make it work. It could be a lot of fun.
All right, let's aim at that. I'll have to look at. I'm actually primarily a high school teacher by day. I'm a college professor by night. So it depends on when my college gigs are always Monday, Wednesday, or Tuesday, Thursday, depending on the semester. I don't remember what I'm teaching this time around. But I would love to be more of a regular.
Right. Do you have like different masks that you wear and capes that go along with one gig and another? Like if college professor by night, it sounds like, you know.
Yeah, no, it's the same old mask and same old cape.
I was
good question.
I was trying to zhuzh it up there, man. I'm working for you. You're killing me.
Walt is the best hype man in the industry.
Hell yeah.
And is that a friend of yours, Aldo? I cannot pronounce that name. Or I could Kosa try. Quinn? Kosa Quinn.
It's Quinn, but yeah, Kayusa Quinn. I don't know if that's how he pronounces the handle, but yes, I know he's one of my backers, and thank you, Quinn. I know I owe him the. For some reason, he got left off of the subscription list, and I had to send him his stuff personally. So your POD will be coming soon, my friend.
All right, cool. Jacob, I feel like we have kind of not let you talk at all this show. Do you have any thoughts, jokes, questions, etc.?
Well, a lot of these you've pretty much covered. As you know, going to be asking about the future of the Superverse, and we've discussed that. And approaching the supers from a German perspective is. How are you handling that as opposed to just being a superhero setting, because a lot of people have approached me with my own setting of Superpowered Legends and saying they would really like some modern day German heroes, especially German woman heroes, because apparently there are no women German heroes in existence. And I looked, there are none in comic books. Every German woman in comics is a villain.
Huh.
Well, there's reasons for that, but I'll let someone else answer that question first.
Wait, I want to hear what the reasons are.
Show will be over in 5 minutes. We'll talk all about that.
So, Jacob, are you asking from a system standpoint or from?
I'm not just from a system standpoint, but is this just a game that you're translating into German, or are you producing a part of the superverse setting, presenting it towards playing heroes in Germany, and this would be what it's like as German heroes.
Well, the
because the lot of superheroes are very U.S. centric,
right? The German translation that's currently going on is a collaboration with myself, Hazard Studios, and the company that's doing the translation. Dominic was the guy who contacted me and said, hey, we have some mutual friends. We'd really like to see this system in German. We're actually big fans and we'd like to give it a try. So after some negotiations, stuff like that, we now have them doing their Kickstarter, and their Kickstarter is doing very well. And we're really excited to see what a German audience does and how it takes the like you were saying, the American perspective, and brings it over to Germany and see what they do with the rules. Because, I mean, the rules are just like any rules anywhere else. I mean, as long as you can understand them and work them, it's cool. But you might end up with characters that have much different flavors than the ones that we've produced. Now, Aldo is working. Supers is not an open game system. I have a tendency to be a little more hands-on because I want... and I've said people to the past, I'm pretty much cool with everything as long as it doesn't promote hate or extreme like violent porn. I'm not going to harsh on somebody's on what somebody likes, but at the same time, I really would not like any type of. There's some violence in any role playing game because I'm going to punch the bad guy, kind of deal.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I was really excited when they reached out and said, hey, we're going to produce this. So we licensed the system to them. And in the same way that Aldo, even though he is the writer, and I have told him many times, hey, man, because of your work on Supers, if you want to produce something, produce it. We'll look it over and let's rock and roll. It's done much the same way as anybody else. So if later on they wanted to, the Superverse is actually Aldo's book. I had very little to do with it other than going, dude, that's dope. and looking over some army rules and stuff like that, that were in the beginning. But if they wanted to do a translation of the Superverse, they would actually have to talk to Aldo. That would be his thing. Mm-hmm. So, and I would be totally on board if they wanted to do a German translation of the Supers rules, a version of Superverse. I'd be totally into that. That would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that answer the question, or?
Kind of. I was looking for more of more of presenting superheroes in the German perspective as opposed to the U.S. perspective, which is most superhero games and comics.
Right. I've only looked through the quick start, and it took me a really long time to do that because I the only German I know is the commands to give my dog.
Well, you know, well, if you need any help with German, you can just call me, and I'll kind of struggle with it feebly for a few minutes before saying I tried.
Yeah. I can send you the quick start. It's actually really pretty.
I downloaded it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you were earlier. Yeah. You were forced to download it because you probably accepted the same cookies I did. So the German rules that they have looks like you could do pretty much just like what we've done. If they wanted to create their own superhero version of you know, like a setting or something like that, you could do it very easily with these rules. I mean, these rules are hyper adaptive. They're really, really easy and fun to use. So, I mean, what kind of superheroes, like from a German perspective, would you think would work? Because like, I'm only seeing the characters they're putting in there, so I don't know if they have like a female David Hasselhoff.
Well, you know, it's just off the top of my head, you know, considering Germany is like one of the heads of the European Union, not only how they interact in their own nation, but because of the agreements with the European Union, are they allowed to go to, if you have like an officially licensed government superhero response team, are they allowed to go to other countries in the European Union because of the agreements of those countries, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. That'd be cool to see. I should probably get Dominic on here, although there would be, I would like to, probably get Dominic on here and talk a little bit about it. I know there would be a little bit of a language barrier, so maybe we can get Norbert on to give us a hand. But yeah, it would be fun to see like some of these questions, see them answer some of these questions. Cause as far as the rules go, so far they've done a pretty good representation of the rules, as far as like just translating them over to German. The thing that weirded me out a little bit in the beginning as before I went through and read like a translated copy, the thing that weirded me out in the beginning was, seeing everything as like, cause normally we see like the number and then the letter D, you know, representing the number of dice you use for whatever part of the character you're using. But to see like the number and then the letter W, it was freaking me out for like a good portion of the morning when I was looking it over. I'm like, why is there a W everywhere? I don't understand this. Come here, dog. Translate this for me.
That's okay. Funny. Well, it sounds like maybe that's a topic for a whole other podcast.
Yeah, yeah, it would be fun. It would be fun to get them on here. Like I said, I know some of them when we've interacted has been using Google Translate. I know I am, having that was just like a godsend, you know, so that we could get kind of things out of the way, and then having a couple of guys that spoke enough English to where they could talk to me was also just absolutely brilliant. So we could always try and get those guys on here and bribe them with like, you know, coffee or snacks and see if we can.
I keep being promised donuts when coming onto the Banff, but you know, I never get donuts.
I must have the wrong address for you in Oklahoma, because I've been sending them, Jacob. There's got to be one of your neighbors somewhere who's just like living, you know, high on the hog.
That's awesome. We will definitely have to feed that addiction.
So, Jacob, I don't know if you remember this tiny, tiny book we did. Oh, back, yeah, 15 years ago.
The first War Games 3 I ever did for you.
Yeah, for Mutants and Masterminds. This was a two competing super teams in the divided city of Berlin in World War. During the Cold War. World War II on the brain. And that guy in the upper left-hand corner, that is some nice art you drew of an Eastern German superhero.
Yeah, I really liked that costume. The gold, black, and red just really popped with him.
Yeah, a long time ago, back in the day. But anyway, we meant to end the show about 15 minutes ago. And whoops, here we are. So, please go direct to RPG, check out the Superverse. It's available for your purchase now and soon available in print. Aldo, thank you very much for coming on, sir.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Pleasure to have you guys. And we forgot to play the intro music, so we'll play the outro music. And we'll catch you next time on the BAP podcast.
Cheers.